Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, welcome back to Hour 4 of the Cook and Joe Show. Starkey off today. He'll be back with me tomorrow. Let's go out to the Nemacolin fan hotline presented by Nemacolin. Around every corner, Nemacolin creates real-life magic for guests. My pleasure to welcome in this next gentleman, a Pittsburgher, a former colleague of mine at the Pittsburgh Press a lifetime ago, who's gone on to bigger and better things, has literally become the preeminent college basketball writer in the country and also does great work for the Big Ten Network. I'm talking about Mike DeCourcy. Mike, good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm well, Ron. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I thought about you 2 weeks ago. I had a couple days off. I took my daughter to Marco Island, and for 4 days we had a blast. But the previous time I was there, we're sitting there having breakfast, and you and your beautiful wife Deb show up. We spent the whole week together. I'll never forget that. What are the chances of that? It wasn't planned either.
No, it was amazing coincidence. It really was. As we were coming out of the pandemic, and so we didn't want to go. But with all the hassle, we didn't want to go international, so found a nice place to go in the States, and Marco Island is a really wonderful place. So it was great to get a chance to see you guys there and meet your wonderful daughter. She's an absolute delight.
We had a blast. Your name came up, I can assure you of that. Mike, it's I never thought I'd be saying Pitt Carolina would be a big game tonight back in November, December, when Pitt loses at home by 25 to West Virginia and loses to Michigan by 31. I give Jeff Capel a lot of credit. How legit is this Pitt team for you?
Well, offensively, they're really good. They do a great job of moving the basketball around. They have a lot of different ways to score. They are an excellent perimeter shooting team. They shoot with great confidence. There's never any hesitation when they get the ball where they want it to go. There's never a hesitation. It's one of the things that, as a basketball connoisseur, when you see guys passing up the shot that your offense just was run to get, that can be, it's irritating as someone who's watching to see that. And that doesn't happen with the Panthers. When they run a play or run an action to get somebody open and that guy's open, he takes the shot. And that's part of the reason they're as successful as they are. Defensively, they're not elite, but they certainly are game. They showed that at the end of the Miami game, when they had the steal, they got the ball out of bounds, and then they committed the turnover and they stole it right back. I loved the persistence there, and it could have been easy to just sort of relent and then give up a baseline inbounds to Miami and lose that game in the way you thought you'd want it. But instead, they just battled and took another one. And I was really impressed by how they competed in the final 2 minutes of a game that they really kind of had to have. They couldn't take another home loss and feel comfortable about where their season was going to go.
I know, Mike, you do your own bracketology. Lenardi has them playing in the play-in game against Penn State of all teams. Do you have Pitt in your field?
Yes, I have them. I looked at Abby Snavel's story today that just got published on the PG website, and I have them a shade ahead of. She talked to five different bracket analysts, and I had them a shade ahead of everybody else. I had them as one of the 10 seeds. Everybody else had them on the 11 line, whether it was a straight 11 or playing in the first four in Dayton. All the other four had them in that circumstance. So it's a close race. When you're in that circumstance, when you're an 11 seed or a 10 seed, everybody that's in that neighborhood, whether it's maybe a smidge ahead of you on the 10 line or those teams behind you and then the teams behind them, one loss, two losses makes a big difference. And I think the nature of the loss as well, the Florida State game, for instance, that was a big miss to lose like that at home to a team that's not good. That's a big miss. So they'd already gotten some good traction with some other games that they've won. So you can maybe afford one of those. Rutgers had three of them last year and still got in. But you can't keep doing that. You can't afford many more of those. So when they go on the road in the ACC to the lesser teams that they'll play, they can't drop many of those games. They have to take care of business, as I told Abby in shorthand in bracket speak. Take care of business means you get Louisville, man. You can't. I mean, you can't even think about losing that game. You get BC at home. You can't. Georgia Tech at home. You've got to take care of those. And even a Syracuse, which isn't an easy team to beat. They're hard to play against, and they're just this close. You know, they're about five baskets away from being a tournament team with the way they've played. But they didn't score any of them, and so they're not that kind of team. But they still are dangerous to you when they come in.
We're talking to Mike DeCourcy, the Sporting News, here about some college basketball. Mike, I think a win tonight on the road at Carolina would help them immensely. How much would it hurt them if they lose, especially if they lose by double digits?
Wouldn't hurt them at all, really, because they're expected to lose that game in that circumstance. It would be really helpful for them to add to their collection of quality wins. That would be another quad one win. They've already got more than most bubble teams have, most of the teams in that range. I mean, I've got teams on the 6 or 7 line that don't have Pitt's three quad one wins, but if they could add a fourth to that, that would be tremendous for them. It's just obviously not easy to do. I mean, they went down to Duke and played really well for a half, and those second 20 minutes are just hard. And I think in a lot of ways it's even harder because Carolina is so experienced. They're both good and experienced. They've been kind of uninspiring, kind of the way they were a year ago, but they still have guys like Baycott. Armando Baycott is such a dynamic big man, and they still have Caleb Love to step back to 30 feet when you're guarding everything else, and he'll make a 30-footer. So they're hard to beat. If they can get it, good for them. If they can't, like I said, the first order of business between now and the ACC tournament is to beat the teams you're supposed to beat. And if you don't get a lot of opportunities now at home, you've already had most of those. Most of their tough home games have already been played, and they did reasonably well in them. They should have got the Clemson game. But down the stretch, they play a lot of those road games at Notre Dame, for instance, at Florida State. Those are games that a bubble team really needs to get.
Mike, they've matched up well against Carolina. They beat them 4 of the last 5, including this December 30th. They won by 2 at the Pete, and I read where they're the last team to beat Carolina in the Dean Dome. Carolina's won 12 in a row since then at home.
Yeah, that was the game that convinced everybody that Carolina might not make the show last year. A lot of people thought at that point, and that's kind of when Carolina started to turn their season around. And from that Pitt game forward, that, you know, they went on and beat Duke, and then they did well in the ACC tournament, not great, but well, and then won 5 in a row in the NCAA tournament. So the Pitt game it's probably a bad memory. It's one more reason why tonight's going to be hard, because they'll be a little angry. I don't know if you saw what Alabama did when they were angry, because they got handled by Oklahoma on the weekend. Alabama got embarrassed by Oklahoma in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. So they go, they come back home, and Vanderbilt comes in, and they literally beat them by 50.
So
angry teams this time of year are tough to deal with.
Mike, I want to get your thoughts quickly about West Virginia and Penn State, but I got to ask you, as a college basketball observer and somebody who loves the game, Pitt honored its 2003 team here on Saturday, first Big East championship team. You know, Julius Page, Brandon Knight, Ontario Lett. those guys were all around for a long time, and I watched them get better, and I felt like I knew them. The way the game is now with the transfer portal, this Pitt team has guys 23, 24, 25 years old on it. They're barely going to be here, and then they're going to be gone. Do you enjoy the game as much as you used to?
I do. I mean, it is a challenge to know who's where, certainly. But if you're a fan of Pitt, say, it doesn't take that much effort to get to know your guys because you're watching them play 30 times. So it doesn't really bother me. I mean, I defended what John Calipari was doing at Kentucky for a long time with the guys who were going through as freshmen and only staying a year. And now everybody's kind of in that circumstance to some degree. They have players who've been there for a little while. Sabande has been at Pitt for several years now and is having a really good year. And if they can get some more freshmen in there that see what Pitt can be when it's good, they saw that in the Miami game, what a wonderful crowd they have, what the Pete's like. When you have that many fans and they're turned on to the possibility of a winning team, this may be a way for Pitt to start to get some traction with them. But also, you know, one of the things that I talked about when they went to the ACC, and I predicted a lot of the calamities that have affected Pitt basketball on the day it was reported that they were going to leave the Big East, this may be a way around some of those, the difficulties they have recruiting. If they can do as well with the next group of transfers as they have done with this one in terms of identifying and attracting talent, then it doesn't have to be maybe an up-and-down program. They can continue to succeed in the ACC.
Talking to Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News here. All right, Mike, where do you have West Virginia and Penn State? How good are those teams? I know Huggins lost a tough one last night against his old buddy Jamie, and I don't think there are really good buddies. but lost a tough one at TCU after a really nice home win against Auburn. How good are the Mountaineers, and how good is Penn State?
They're both very good teams. West Virginia is very good, but to succeed in that league, you have to be extremely good. And that's why you're seeing them beaten up in the Big 12. The Big 12 is as strong a conference relative to its season. I don't think this is a great year for college basketball and its talent. And the nature of the teams, I don't think are great teams generally. But relative to the season, this Big 12 is monstrous. The records they have, the records they can set relative to the NCAA tournament, they could get a greater percentage of their teams into the field than any league ever has. They could get more teams at the top of the bracket than any league ever has. And so that's what West Virginia's struggle and challenge is, to try to deal with that. And the Auburn games show that they're still relevant, that if they can beat a team from the SEC that's squarely in the NCAA tournament at the moment, it showed that they're still relevant, but they just have to take advantage of their opportunities at home. They have to be more consistent. They had Texas. They were better than Texas 2 weeks ago and just gave them the game. And giving the ball up without much pressure was really a poor execution down the stretch. They're better than that. So you have to take advantage of those opportunities when you have them in their gym. If they can win their home games the rest of the way, I think they get in. But if they don't, that's when they have trouble. And Penn State, that's a really nice team, and they have terrific talent. They're not very big, and that's caused problems at times. But Jalen Pickett's playing at minimum second or third team All-American level and challenging for first team if he can make Penn State successful. He's having a tremendous year. Their problem is that they've missed opportunities by just a smidge. They were at Clemson, could have won, didn't. They were at Virginia Tech, could have won, didn't. They've got to win some of those games down the stretch in the Big Ten, and if they do, I think they'll enjoy March.
Well, they're at Purdue tonight. That's going to be a tough one, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I don't know if you've seen Zach Edey yet. He is 7'4". He's a physically powerful 7'4". He's got really good feet for a player his size. He moves well. He's been amazing, a revelation as a player this season. So if you haven't gotten a chance to see him yet, this is a great opportunity to check him out against the Nittany Lions, a team that, again, like I said, they've played a 6'4" guy at center. because he's tough. So they experiment a little bit with a guy off the bench on Sunday and had great success against Michigan. So you'll probably see more of him on the week. On this evening. But they don't have any 7-4 guys sitting there.
Mike, it'd be great to see Pitt and Penn State play, even if they're in Dayton. It's not Pitt-Penn State football. I know you remember how good those games were, but I'd love to see a Pitt-Penn State basketball game.
Yeah, you know, they matched them in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Of course, we won't have that anymore. But they matched them several years ago in that challenge, and it was great. It was really a terrific game that they had. And I, as I recall, I think Pitt ended up winning it. I think those were great. That was a great opportunity. And I covered Pitt Penn State in the NIT in 92 up at Rec Hall, and that was a lot of fun. I it'd be nice to see them get a series together. I think it'd be good for both schools. You don't have to travel very far to play a pretty good quality opponent.
All right, Mike, before I let you go, I got a couple football questions for you. The big story here yesterday, Jerry Dulac writing that a contract extension is inevitable for Mike Tomlin before this season. They always do it with 2 years left, probably give him two more, which would tie him up for 4 more years. I know you're a Tomlin guy. I am too, but I'm not sure I'm in favor of this extension now. I might wait until after the year. Your thoughts?
I don't think you need to see anything more. He's done this multiple times. I don't remember what year it was. It might have been 13, the year that they went to London. And I thought, you know, maybe this isn't going to work. And then he took them back from the brink that time. I think the way players respond to him, I've never liked the cliche that they need a new voice and all that. If the voice that you hear is smart and intelligent and something that people buy, so the players in the room buy, the new voice thing is just, you know, what if a new voice doesn't talk sense? You know, what if they're not great? I think they need to continue to beef up the roster and do the right things with that. But I don't think they need a new head coach. And so if he's willing to coach another, 2 years beyond this, I'm all for that. Because I'm impressed that he's still as invested in this and wants to continue to do it, given it's not an easy job to do. He's made a ton of money. And you know, we saw Bill Cowher say, I've done it enough after 15 years. And Mike's, I think, beyond that now and promising to stay beyond that. I'm all for that.
The only counter argument, Mike, is no playoff wins in 6 years. The longest streak for this franchise since before Chuck Knoll, his first couple years added on to what he took over. That's a long time for a franchise. Its stated goal is Super Bowl or bust.
Yeah, I never buy the Super Bowl or bust thing because, as I tell people, I've followed the Steelers since I was 10 years old. They've won it 6 times, which is more than all but one other team. So I don't understand the idea that I'm supposed to have wasted my time the other 46 years or whatever it was, whatever the number is. You're not going to win the Super Bowl every year. Do the best with what you have is the goal. And there have been occasions where they didn't. Certainly 2017 would be an example of that. But, you know, when I hear people talk about they didn't win with all that talent, Le'Veon Bell, this, and I'm like, okay, how many playoff games did Le'Veon Bell finish? How many? Like, out of the ones they did play, he finished 3 playoff games in 5 years, and they won 2 of them. The only one they didn't win was the Jacksonville game. That was a disaster on a lot of levels. They should have been more prepared to deal with Ryan Shazier's absence. But again, there's always been something that's gone a little bit wrong with them when they get to the postseason injury-wise. You need to be lucky as well as good, and they haven't had that luck in a while.
All right, Mike, who do you like in the Super Bowl? What's your initial thoughts? It's still 10 days away. You like the Eagles or do you like the Chiefs?
It's feeling like the Eagles to me because I don't trust the Chiefs in terms of the ability to run the football or stop the run. And I think they're going to have to be able to do both of those to some degree to cope with what the Eagles do. Mahomes is a wild card because I think he's the most gifted quarterback that I've ever seen. And Brady retired today. And I still, and you think to yourself, you'll never see another quarterback like that. Meanwhile, there's Mahomes in his 5th year as a starter, 5 AFC championship games, 3 Super Bowl appearances. I'm not entirely convinced that we're not seeing him now. I mean, he's got to go another 15 years or whatever, but he is just astounding as a talent.
I couldn't agree more. He's not going to win seven Super Bowls like Brady. I think that's pretty safe to say, but I'm not sure he's not has a chance to be known, remembered as the best. Your thoughts initially on Brady here? How are you going to remember him? A lot of people in Pittsburgh are going to remember him as a cheater.
Yo, there's that. I mean, you remember him as someone who just won and was a tremendous winner. And I think that I don't think you have to go somewhere to prove it in the way that he did. But when he did make the decision to go to Tampa Bay and then still won another, I mean, it said a lot about what he is and who he was as a football player. He was the greatest. And maybe Mahomes passes him, but think about, like I said, how long you have to continue to do it at that level to be able to even come close to what Brady accomplished.
Mike DeCourcy, thank you, my friend. It's always a joy. Let's do this again real soon, okay?
Absolutely. Take care, Ron.
All right. Mike DeCourcy, when I say the best college basketball writer going, he is in sporting news. Read his stuff. He's also, you can see him on the Big Ten Network, does a lot of great TV work for them.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.